This is Jeff Corhan. Welcome to JeffCorhan.com. We have a very special guest today, Guy Kawasaki, who is somebody that I'm sure you're familiar with if you are involved with the social networks. He is actually one of the first people that I actually friended on Twitter, and this goes back to the early days. And I'm sure if you're on Twitter, you know of his presence, not just on Twitter, but on all of the social networks. And he's going to help us out today with respect to how small businesses can take full advantage of social media. And he's probably going to talk a little bit about his new book, Enchantment,
Indeed.
The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. And there are some concepts in there that are highly relevant to social media effectiveness, but also just mainstream ideas that I think you'll find incredibly valuable just for running your small business.
Okay. Good morning or evening or afternoon, wherever you are when you're watching this. I am Guy Kawasaki. I used to work at Apple. I was Apple's chief evangelist, and it was really my job to convince people in the mid-80s to write Macintosh software and to create Macintosh hardware products. Since then, I've started several software companies. I've become a venture capitalist, a writer, and a speaker. And the hat I'm wearing today is primarily a writer. On March 8th, my book will come out, Enchantment. And this book is a compilation of everything I learned about wooing, persuading, influencing, evangelizing, and enchanting people. I hope that it will be a complimentary book to How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, as well as Influence by Robert Cialdini. So what I'm trying to do is enable people to change the hearts and minds of actions of others. And not so much just to get your way, as much as to come to a mutually beneficial, mutually long-lasting, and mutually delightful relationship. So it's not just closing a sale. And as a I identify most with small business, not large business. I think of all businesses, the small businessman has to be enchanting because, you're not going to depend on this Super Bowl commercial and this huge sales force and all this kind of thing. So the major weapon in your bag of tricks is enchanting people. And by that, I mean that you create this delightful relationship, and whether you're a restaurant or an independent consultant or a bike repair shop, I would like to encourage you to go beyond the simple transactions to the point where you are delighting your customers. And think about this, using the computer business as an example. If HP or Dell or one of the clone manufacturers, if they influence you to buy a laptop, if they persuade you to buy a laptop, God bless you. You buy a laptop, maybe you'll also buy a printer. But that's kind of the end of the relationship. Contrast that to Apple. Apple convinces you to buy a Macintosh, and then you're so enchanted that you buy a Macintosh, you buy an iPhone, you buy an iPad, you buy an iPod, you use iTunes, you buy iBooks, and sometimes if you're really hardcore, when you hear that the new iPhone is coming out, you stand in front of the store for 24 hours, freezing your butt off so you can be the first one to get this iPhone or iPad. It's a long-term relationship, and that's enchantment. That's the difference between enchantment and sales.
That is there's a great lesson there, I think. One that actually you reaffirm, but that I initially learned from one of my customers when I had my contracting business, was we had just completed a major landscape installation at his home, and he asked me, what's next? And I said, what do you mean, what's next? We're done. And he said, you don't get it, do you? And so this led to him actually coming down to our offices and spending a great deal of time with the staff, explaining that it's all about the long-term relationship and that you're never done, that there's always that opportunity to be upgraded, and that that's what people expect.
So what else did you do for him?
We did a lot of work for him after that, believe it or not. We did not realize how much we were, so to speak, leaving on the table, but what I realized is we were very transaction-oriented, and that's certainly not a good way to be in this economy.
Well, listen, I love that story. On the other hand, having been on the other side of contracting and remodeling, it really is nice to know that you can have a contractor that actually ends something.
Yes.
Because the rule of thumb we use around here is, you know, twice as long and twice as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know that, you know, okay, this project really is over. Yeah, hallelujah. It reminds me, last night, I'm a big hockey fan, and last night they were interviewing the guy who bought the Buffalo Sabres, and he was saying something like, well, you know, I'm not really into the hockey business to make money. If I wanted to make money, I would just drill another oil well. I'm here to win the Stanley Cup, not make money. And I said, wow, you know, how many owners think like that, right? And can you imagine if you're the coach of the player and you heard your boss say, it's not the money, win the Stanley Cup. Wow, you know, that's like you hearing it, don't worry about the money, like, make me a beautiful house.
Well, and that's the you have to balance those two, but we realize that every business, I believe today, understands you have to be competitive.
Yeah.
And so by really focusing on the best result that we could have given him, we greatly exceeded his budget. But then what we did was, well, no, we opened the books and he saw, you know, the numbers and we agreed on a fair profit and everybody got what they wanted out of it. So it, uh-huh, it worked out well.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want to come back to something you said previously, which I think is very interesting, because I, in my role now, I speak to small business audiences predominantly about social media. And I think to a great extent, many still think of it as marketing in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really relevant that you and I are even talking right now, because being who you are, obviously there are many people that would love to interview you. And this is in the book, actually. And I forget how you said this, but the idea that it's making connections with people regardless of who they are and building relationships one at a time. And that, to me, is how I've achieved the results I have with social media. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So what I said in the book is that you need to plant many seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because nobodies are the new somebodies. So let me explain that. You know, in the old world in marketing, there were these major reporters and journalists and analysts, and you basically had to suck up to them, and they wrote for the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Wired, you know, CNET, Fast Company, Inc., whatever. So you sucked up to them because you hoped that they would say something good about your product or service, and then the great unwashed masses, the rest of us, would listen to these oracles of wisdom, take their word for it, and then use the product or service. So that was kind of trickle-down marketing, right? You go up to the oracle, mm-hmm, and he spreads it to the rest of the world. I think that is completely reversed now. It's either an inverted pyramid, or there's no pyramid, and it's completely flat. And my observation is that the people you never heard of, that don't have 5 million followers or 5 million readers or subscribers, they're the people who really make something successful. So it's, you know, it's Jeff513 on Twitter, and it's LonelyBoy15 yeah, on Facebook. And these people, what they do is they don't listen to the oracles. You know, they may not even read those big journals anymore. They just use a product, they use a service, they like it. They may tell 5 friends as opposed to 5 million. But when they tell these 5 friends, because they are so engaged with them and they're, you know, they're so connected with them, these 5 friends really trust them and believe them. And then these 5 people tell another 5 people. And that's how you get a phenomenon like Facebook or Twitter. It's not because someone at the New York Times said, we just saw Twitter, and you have to use this thing that you can post 140 character messages to anybody about in the world, telling them that your cat rolled over. I mean, you know, let's be honest. When you first heard the description of Twitter, you thought that was the dumbest thing you ever heard, right?
I really did.
Right. And so everybody's reaction is that. But all these nobodies, i.e. you and I, you know, we love Twitter. We still told more people to love Twitter. And then at some point, there's so many people who love Twitter that the great oracles on the big mountain, they had to pay attention to Twitter. And so the message here is, for you to get to the Jeff 513s and the Lonely Boy 15s, you have to plant a lot of seeds mm-hmm. because you really don't know who your evangelist, the person you can enchant, will be. So you have to, like, you know, using another saying from Chairman Mao, you have to let 100 flowers blossom. Yeah, that is completely contrary to classic marketing.
It totally is. When I speak, I have an MBA. I studied marketing, and I basically tell people what I believe is the truth, that 99% of what I learned is irrelevant today. This, you know, it was built on this model of tactical, you know, almost kind of from the military. We segment markets, we divide yeah. markets. I mean, now we just go out there and there's people out there. And what you just said, I was working with this concept, but I believe it's a flat business environment where really you get your results by, you said, what you said, planting seeds and almost not having an expectation of where things are going to come from, because I don't think you know. It's such yeah. an organic process. And then
you really don't know.
Yeah, things happen. And then, you know, so here I am talking to you. And I think this is a great example. And I remember blogging for 2 years and I had 20 readers. And my wife said, "You are nuts." And I kept doing it. And good things began to happen after that. I was so excited when I got represented into the Alltop family. And yeah. then things evolved from there and so on and so forth. But gosh, so many people don't want to believe it, you know. And I guess if there's a message here, there is some work involved, isn't there?
Oh, there's a great deal of work. You know, I wish people could just buy my book and magically be this super enchanting person, and, you know, whether it be the next Steve Jobs or Richard Branson. It ain't that easy. The key to my success in life has been the willingness to grind it out. And you know, I'm not a visionary. I don't make these grand predictions, and, you know, I'm not 10 years ahead of the market. I'm just willing to grind. I'm, you know, kind of a masochist that way. That's how I write my books. That's how I do my marketing. You know, I'm marketing this book, and you know, I'm sure that if some classic marketing person watched what I did marketing this book, they would tell me that 90% of what I'm doing is wrong. You know, I'm answering emails and at messages and direct messages from God knows who, you know, Jeff Corin. I don't know, you know.
And that's why I think you're right. You have to almost be wrong to be right these days.
Yeah, yeah.
And I applaud the things you're doing. For those watching and listening, for example, on your Facebook page, you can get a copy of one of your earlier books, The Macintosh Way. Download that for free just by liking the page.
Yeah.
Reaching out to nobodies. Like, I really enjoyed that description when I read that. I think that's
you know what's funny is that, you know, I tell people that nobodies are the new somebodies. And the somebodies, when they hear that advice, they tell me, you know, guy, you shouldn't say that, because what you're doing is you're insulting those people. You're telling them that they're nobodies. And at that point, I just say to them, you know, you just don't get it, do you? I mean, I'm not insulting them at all, and they're not taking it as an insult. They're taking it as a compliment.
Exactly. That's how I took it. Well, hey, I know you're a busy guy. I will let you wrap up. Any last thoughts?
Well, I just want people to remember that enchantment is a skill. It is not a one or a zero. It's a curve, and you can move along that curve. A nice model to approach it is perhaps fitness. You know, it's not that you're either really fit or you're not fit at all. People are fit along a continuum, and you can get more fit. You can also get less fit. So I don't want people to think that you're either born enchanting or you're not. Enchanting people are made, and they're made because they're likable, they're trustworthy, and they have a great cause, a great service, a great product, or a great idea. Now, everybody can't be great in all three areas, but you have to have a minimum of these things, because if you think about it, if you had a great product, but you were a total schmuck, nobody liked you and nobody trusted you, you might do, you know, okay, but you really won't optimize it. On the other hand, if you're a likable and trustworthy person and you have a lousy product, you know, there are limits to how much you'll achieve with that too. Although I will tell you that, you know, think about it, and I think about this, there are places that I eat, for example, that don't have the best food, but they have really friendly people,
mm-hmm.
and they try really hard. And I am willing to sacrifice the quality of the food for the experience of the people. And so I'll give you three examples of companies. Apple's strength, and the reason why Apple enchants people is because of the quality of its product. Virgin America and Virgin Atlantic, it enchants people because of the likability of Richard Branson. People identify with his spirit. And Zappos enchants people because people trust the company. They trust them so much because Zappos trusted them to make a decision about a shoe and send it back, no questions asked, without an RMA, postage paid both ways. So as people think, you know, how can I be more enchanting? Do I want to be more enchanting? Basically, I want you to think of this. You want the trustworthiness of Zappos, you want the product of Apple, and you want the likability of Richard Branson, and that will make you enchanting.
That's excellent. That's a great way to put it. Incidentally, I'm speaking in Vegas this weekend, so
yeah.
I set aside a couple of hours to visit Zappos. I'm really excited about seeing.
Oh, you will love Zappos. There's a picture of the workspace in my book from Zappos, and you will see.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Sure.
Yeah. You will see cubicles that you would not believe are possible in corporate America. And one of the stories, there's two stories I tell about Zappos in my book. One is that they occupy a very large warehouse that had a lot of doors you could go in and out of. And they made most of the doors into emergency use only. And they forced people to go through one main door so that people will meet each other, right? Because if you're all going through separate doors, you know, you're in the engineering department or you're in the, I don't know, service department, you just go out the service entrance, you'd never meet anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing they did. The other thing they did is when you're on their email system, every once in a while they show you a picture of an employee and you're supposed to, you know, pass a test about who is that employee, and they tell you about the employee's background and all that. So they sort of digitized meeting employees within the company.
That's great.
Well, all right. So the book will be in stores on March 8th. If you can, you know, post this around March 8th, then it would be really great and a lot of help. Thank you.
That's the plan. It will be posted on the 8th. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate your energy and your time. And it's a great book, and I hope everybody gets out there and picks up a copy of it.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks.